Welcome, everyone, to our Sunday night service here at Calvary. And we hope you're doing well this evening. And we had a wonderful service this morning. We just really enjoyed the service. Thank you, choir, and all of the musicians this morning for the great job that you guys did. Hope you were blessed at home by watching. And we enjoyed sharing some things to you about Jonah. And about the acts of mercy that we see out of that little book, the book of Jonah. And this morning we looked at the first act of mercy, and that was a definite act. That was when the whale was prepared that, in fact, swallowed Jonah. And, you know, reflecting back on that, there are so many times in life where the Lord rescues us, doesn't he? He's aware of our situation always. He sees what we don't. But he comes in. He rescues us. We give up on ourselves at times. But yet God never gives up on us. And he has a way of just engrafting us back on the front line. And we're thankful for that. Tonight we're going to conclude that message in just a few moments. And we're going to look at the other three pictures in the book of Jonah. We're going to look at the gourd, which was an act of mercy. We're going to look at the worm, and we're going to look at the wind. And in all of these scenarios, there was a trace of mercy, an act of mercy. God was funneling Jonah down to where he should be in God's perfect will there in Nineveh. So we hope it'll be a help tonight as this morning. I do want to encourage you to continue to pray for the children's home as they are on lockdown for just a little while. And what I mean by that is, like we said this morning, a couple of the children, while visiting with relatives, were exposed. But let's pray for their safety as they're, I'm sure, in quarantine. Let's pray for the house parents, all of those at the children's home. Always remember to pray for Brother Snyder and Miss Marcia and the staff there. And so we're remembering them tonight. And I want to personally say thank you, church. Thank you for the gift from the church on your behalf to me and my wife, Pastor Appreciation Month. And it wasn't even on my radar. I didn't even think about it. But thank you. It's a joy to serve you as we serve the Lord, and as long as you shall let us, we will count it a blessing each and every time that we come in contact with you. Thank you. I also wanted to say again, what is it, November 14th, Christy? It's November 14th on Saturday. We plan on having an outside movie in lieu of Fall Festival and our annual Thanksgiving dinner that we have. This will be we'll be having this. And we're going to be spaced out, not mentally, but spaced out in our chairs. Those, that is, weather coordinating, not too cold, not raining. And everyone will bring their own snacks. And again, we'll have, we plan on bringing our fire pit up, setting it outside. It's an above ground. And so just trying to have some kind of reasonable fellowship. We just miss each other. We miss being together during the holidays and at all times. So remember that, and we'll let you know as we get closer to that time. Again, let's remember our upcoming election, our president now, as he recovers from the COVID. Remember everyone in position and in place. And just remember one another worldwide, all Christian brothers and sisters and everybody in general. Let's pray for one another. Father, tonight we come in Jesus' name, and we're thankful, we're grateful, we're humbled at the opportunity to stand once again. We don't take it lightly. Lord, I pray tonight that you would be with our president, Lord, and heal him, God. Give him grace to continue. We pray for the election, Lord. We pray for all first responders. Thank you for them, doctors. God, we're thankful for the praise reports. That of Miss Connie Teague's brother, Bill, in recent days. We've heard that he's getting better. The wonderful praise report we received from my daughter at her checkup. Thank you, God, for that. Lord, you've been good. And so, therefore, we serve you with our whole heart. God, we pray that it'll be acceptable in your sight. Bless the service tonight. We pray that you'll be honored and glorified in all that we say and do. And we'll praise you for it in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Tonight, I've asked Lily if she would sing a song concerning the things that God sees that we don't. And so we can take refuge in that very thought that God's in control. You pray. Well, praise the Lord this evening. We are so glad that the Lord is able to see the things that are ahead, and He prepares some things. He prepares some things, and the provision is already there before we get there. And thank you, Lily, for that song. In fact, that song lines right up with tonight's message as we begin our second part of the two-part message, Acts of Mercy. We've seen that the Lord had prepared a whale for Jonah. And we know that Jonah, in the very beginning, it was God's will, it was God's plan for Jonah to head toward Nineveh. And chapter number 1, in verse 1 and 2 says that the word of the Lord, in fact, in verse 1, came unto Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, "Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness is come up before me." And so that was the plan. It was Jonah to leave home and go toward Nineveh. And let me just say, as long as Jonah was in pursuit of going to Nineveh, as long as Jonah was heading in that direction, he was in God's perfect will. Nineveh was northeast of Jonah's homeland there in Jerusalem. And so Jonah had opportunity to pursue God's plan. But we know, and as we stated this morning, that Jonah didn't go northeast, but he went west. He went to a place, was headed to a place, that is, called Tarshish. And we looked this morning how that, in verse number 3, that Jonah, he fled. There was this, no doubt, this inner turmoil within the heart, in the mind of Jonah. And I say that he struggled with God's will. He struggled with God's plan. And he had this inner turmoil because Jonah was a Jew and those of Nineveh were of the Gentile origin. They were people of idolatry and they were people who had hatred toward God's people. And so for Jonah to desire to go there, to preach forgiveness of sin, repentance, and the forgiveness of sin, that pained Jonah. So we talked about how that in life there's struggles at times where the Lord would have us be at a certain place or do a certain thing. And there's times where we struggle and there's anguish with the will of God. And sometimes we flee from the will of God. Sometimes in life it's forgiving someone and we feel like that they don't deserve forgiveness. Jonah did not feel like these people evidently deserved forgiveness, and so he fled. Many times in life there's the subject of being offended by people or being offended in general, and we feel justified in the sense that, well, I'm not going to forgive them because what they did was wrong. But in all actuality, that's God's will, is for us to forgive. That's just an example. But many times we don't handle that correctly and we flee from being in God's perfect will. And we looked at that. We won't reiterate all of these, but in verse number 3, we know that he went to Tarshish. That was the direct opposite location of where he was. He went as far as he could go. There was no middle ground. And we said this morning that there is no fence straddling when it comes to the Lord. When a person chooses to say no to Jesus, to go upon their own agenda and the things they have planned, or they don't want to deal with something, then there is no middle ground. There's just being away from God. And we know that there was a ship found there, and Jonah jumped on that. He paid the fare. He was aboard the ship that was going toward Tarshish. And we know that in life, there's always those worldly mechanisms that are ready to substitute our devotion from God. Those ready mechanisms. The ship was ready. Sure, it was ready. Jonah went there. It was ready. And he aborted the ship and he took off. So there's always those worldly mechanisms that try to replace the devotion towards God. And we also looked at this morning how that Jonah fled from the presence of the Lord. Now, Jonah nor us tonight could ever flee from the omnipresence of the Lord. Like David said in Psalm 139, if I ascend up into heaven, thou art there. If I make my bed in hell, thou art there. In so many words, David was explaining that. And he could not outrun the presence of the Lord, could not hide. Adam and Eve could not hide in the garden. They tried to hide. But no doubt Jonah, he left the presence of the Lord. He left that spot of empowerment. He left that close spot. Jonah was a prophet unto the Lord. And we look back in previous verses, or at least we referenced a verse, 2 Kings 15:25. And we've seen there that it was another account of Jonah in his prophetic office. And so this isn't the first time that Jonah received word from the Lord, but yet this time Jonah didn't take it the right way, and he fled. He left the presence of the Lord. Tonight, let us stay in the presence of the Lord. No matter how difficult the job may be that God is calling us to do, let us abide in His presence, because He'll provide the energy. He will give us the enablement to do what He wants us to do. Let us not flee from the presence of the Lord, but let us stay in the presence of Jehovah tonight. And so this evening, I want us to pick up in chapter number 4, actually. While this morning we looked at the first act of mercy and how that Jonah was on that ship, and the storm came, and the mariners and the shipmaster and they cast lots that fell upon Jonah. Jonah requested to be discharged from the ship, and the men did that, and the storm ceased. And Jonah was swallowed up by a whale in verse number 17 of chapter number 1. God showed mercy toward Jonah in his rebellion. But tonight, I want us to skip over to chapter number 4. Chapter 2 deals with Jonah's prayer and his deliverance. Chapter number 3, verse 1, and the word of the Lord came unto Jonah the second time. And so Jonah actually heeded his call this time. He went to Nineveh. He preached. The people repented. It was that easy. Jonah is now leaving Nineveh. And Jonah is actually spacing himself from Nineveh a great distance, because he wants to see what's going to become of Nineveh. And I want you to notice, and what I mean become of Nineveh, the Lord recently said that he was going to abolish Nineveh. And that was part of the message that Jonah preached. Let's see. Notice back in chapter number 3, right quick, if you would. Verse number 4. And Jonah began to enter into the city a day's journey, and he cried and said, "Yet 40 days, and Nineveh shall be overthrown." So he preached the sermon, but the people repented. And now in chapter number 4, Jonah is distancing himself from the city to see if God's going to overthrow it. or if God's going to allow it to stand. But Jonah already knew the answer to this. In chapter number 4, notice if you would in verse number 1. But it displeased Jonah exceedingly, and he was very angry. Verse number 2 says, and he prayed unto the Lord and said, I pray thee, O Lord, was not this my saying when I was yet in my country? Therefore I fled before unto Tarshish, for I knew that thou art a gracious God and merciful, slow to anger, and of great kindness, and repentest thee of the evil. He says in verse number 3, therefore now, O Lord, take, I beseech thee, my life from me, for it is better for me to die than to live. Verse 4, then said the Lord, doest thou well to be angry? So Jonah went out of the city and sat on the east side of the city, and there made him a booth and sat under it in the shadow till he might see what will become of the city. So Jonah knew if he preached the people, if they accepted, God would roll back that pronouncement of doom upon Nineveh. But yet Jonah is actually waiting to see if, in essence, if God would destroy it. This just shows the anger of Jonah's heart. Again, I said this morning, this is the first time in the Bible or even in life in general I've ever heard of any Christian getting mad over someone getting saved. Think about it. Jonah being a Jew and Nineveh being of Gentile origin. And Jonah, it angered him at knowing of the salvation that would come to a people that was against his people. Not to even think what the Jewish people would think of Jonah preaching and the people getting saved. I mean, the people might be a reproach on Jonah. And so Jonah is mad and Jonah is angry. And he knew, that's why he fled in the beginning, that the Lord would be gracious and he would repent of the evil that he would do. But the people accepted. And now here Jonah is. Jonah has made himself a booth, and he is waiting and he is watching. No doubt he is waiting to see if God would destroy Nineveh in spite of God's word that he would not. And so I want you to notice in verse number 6, we see a second act of mercy here. Jonah is angry, he is waiting, he knows within his heart that God lifted that damnation upon Nineveh, yet he was still expecting and waiting to see if it would come down. Verse number 6, and the Lord God prepared a gourd and made it to come up over Jonah, that it might be a shadow over his head to deliver him from his grief. So Jonah was exceeding glad of the gourd. I want to say tonight, when it comes to this gourd no doubt was an act of mercy like the well was. Jonah did not deserve the safety of the well, yet God was merciful. Jonah here, he does not deserve the shadow of the gourd, yet God is being merciful to him. I want you to notice this gourd. The Bible says, and the Lord God prepared a gourd. The gourd, most say, was just a plant with broad leaves, a big plant with broad leaves. And so this would be a great covering for Jonah. Also, this gourd, it covered Jonah's booth. We read in verse number 5 that Jonah made a type of booth. And so the Lord, on top of that, allowed a gourd to grow to give Jonah shade. And so, and the Lord God prepared a gourd and made it to come up over Jonah that it might be a shadow over his head to deliver him from his grief. How many times in life has God done that for you and the Lord has done that for me? Times where we did not deserve relief or we did not deserve the Lord to come by and shelter us and be our safety and be our refuge to give us delight in the midst of the summers of life and in the pains of life. Yet the Lord says to deliver him from his grief. This was an act of mercy. But I want you to notice something else. While Jonah was angry at the salvation of the Ninevites getting saved, he was happy with the shade from the gourd. And so what we see here, we see a man that was all out of sorts. He was angry at Nineveh getting saved, yet he was happy with the shadow or the shade of this gourd. You see, there's a lesson wrapped up in this gourd, not only applying to our life, and that the Lord is a shade unto us, even when we don't deserve it. But the Lord was showing Jonah something concerning his relationship with that gourd and God's relationship with Nineveh. God was painting Jonah a picture and wanting him to see, Jonah, that gourd brings you great delight. The same way Nineveh brings great delight to the Lord. The Lord loved the Ninevites. He wanted them to receive salvation. And so we see here that God was wanting Jonah to see how Jonah feels over the gourd, the delight, the joy that it brought to him, and all everything that goes along with that compared to God and his feelings over Nineveh. If you go on and you read in this chapter, he says many things about his relationship with Nineveh. But in verse number 9, he says, "And God said to Jonah, doest thou well to be angry for the gourd?" And this is when the gourd is withered away. And he said, "I do well to be angry, even unto death." Then said the Lord, "Thou hast had pity on the gourd." You are concerned with the gourd. You are all caught up in how this gourd has withered away. And we'll get into that in a moment. And you're having pity on it. You're concerned about it, he says in verse 10. Then said the Lord, "Thou hast had pity on the gourd for the which thou hast not labored, neither madest it grow, which came up in a night and perished in a night." Look at verse 11. "And should not I spare Nineveh, that great city, wherein are more than 60,000 persons that cannot discern between the right hand and their left hand, and also much cattle?" The Lord, he had a great delight in Nineveh. He cherished Nineveh. In spite of the wickedness of Nineveh, those people, along with the people, the Jewish people, and everybody today are all the creations of God. May not be the children of God, but they were creations of God, and the Lord wanted them to have salvation. He was concerned with Nineveh. Jonah was concerned. He delighted in this gourd. And so there's a deeper meaning here than just a minor application, how that, but a great application, how that the Lord is a shade for us in our life, even when we don't deserve it. The Lord is there. It's an act of mercy. And so we see the gourd. But then I want you to notice a second thing. And this is a type or a form of an act of mercy. It's definitely the Lord working in the behalf of Jonah. And that is the worm. Notice in verse number 7. "But God prepared a worm when the morning rose the next day, and it smote the gourd that it withered." How about that? We see that this gourd, it was here to to give Jonah shade. It was here to replenish Jonah in spite of Jonah. But wait a minute. Jonah woke up the next morning and the gourd was gone. The gourd had withered away. And some commentators say that that gourd had one big leaf about a foot long. I don't know. When I think of gourds, I think of what my grandma had behind her house hanging up from a bird feed. And there may be a close relation to that. Some say it's actually a tree or a plant called the palm Christ or the palm Christ. People have their different viewpoints and what it is. I just look at it, it says gourd. I take it as a big gourd. But the very next day, this gourd was gone. The shade was gone. And the Lord had prepared a worm. It was something that Jonah didn't see. It was beneath the surface. Yet he turned this worm loose that night, and it got to gnawing all night. It was gnawing, and it was down at the root of that gourd, and it was allowing life to escape from the root of that gourd. It was gnawing on it late at night. And then the next morning when he arose, his shade was gone. You see, this worm went to work that night, and by morning the gourd was withered. God was teaching Jonah through this withering gourd his love for Nineveh. His love for Nineveh. Think about it for a moment. The gourd was gone. And we see that Jonah, through the rest of the verses here, we see that angered Jonah. Jonah, in verse number 8, actually fainted. But you see, this was still the message. This was still conditioning Jonah's heart to see things and to see Nineveh from God's perspective. And that is that God loved the Ninevites. He wanted them to get saved and accept Him. And so the gourd is gone. And now Jonah is experiencing the loss of something that he loved. He's experiencing the loss of something that gave him shade, that gave him comfort. And so this is the message that God is wanting Jonah to receive. That listen, my people are perishing. My people are in idolatry. I say my people, the Ninevites, God speaking, my creations, they're in idolatry and they're withering away in their sins. And the Ninevites needed salvation offered to them. And he used the withering of this gourd to do so. Listen, there are times in the Christian life where things leave our life. There are times in our Christian experience and in our Christian journey where things just wither off the scenes. Some of these things, perhaps we feel that we needed to be present in our life, yet they left. I don't fully understand all the ins and outs and how this touched Jonah, but I do know this, that Jonah was supposed to be in Nineveh. And yes, he was rescued and he went to Nineveh. But you see, there was another part of that plan, and that was Jonah's heart needed to be changed. That was part of God's will, part of God's plan to not only preach to them, but have the right attitude of heart. Who gets angry when lost people get saved? It's a wrong attitude of heart. And so God allowed this worm to eat that gourd out of his life. And for the bigger picture, to speak to Jonah's heart, how many times in life does it happen? There's something that we love that is removed. There's something that we're involved with that leaves. And maybe it even feels like it's wrong. Well, Lord, I enjoy this so much. This thing in my life was so meaningful. I really felt like it was a help. Yet, it slowly left our lives. And church, this is when we have to trust the omniscience of God. Not only His omnipresent, His omnipresence, but His omniscience means He's all-knowing. He's all-knowing. And we have to trust that whatever leaves our life, if we are walking the best we can with Jesus, we are receiving instruction from His Word, we're engaging in prayer. If there is anything that is repelled off of us that leaves our life, we have to trust, whether we agree or disagree with it, we have to trust that God is in charge. He's omniscient. He knows everything before it happens, when it happens, after it happens. We slip, we stumble. God's aware of it. He gives acts of mercy upon our life. And sometimes it is a complete act of mercy when God deletes things from our life. There's a song out called, in fact, it's been out for a long time, Southern Gospel. The Wisnets sang it. And the name of that song, Brother David, is "There Must Be a Greater Yes." I believe it is. There must be a greater yes. And what the song means is that there's times where we pray and we want God to intercede in a certain way. But sometimes He answers differently. Sometimes He guides opposite of how we feel or how we think He should guide us and lead us. It's total opposite. Think about Abraham and Isaac. I refer to that so often. But how true is it that God promised to seed Isaac, but yet God told Abraham, offer him for an offering? We know that there was provision made, and so Abraham's faith was put to the test here. There was something deeper in that experience. It had everything to do, Abraham and Isaac, with trusting Jesus. Jehovah Jireh, the Lord provides. And you see, I believe tonight this is part of the acts of God. The acts of mercy when He sent this worm, no doubt He wanted Jonah's heart to be fixed aright. He wanted Jonah to see God's perspective toward His love in the Ninevites. Wanted Jonah's heart, his attitude of heart to change. And so this worm ate the gourd. Listen to this. Our gourds may be gone, but our God is not gone. There are times in life where God eliminates our gourds. But just remember, church, our God is not gone. Our gourds might be gone, but our God is not gone. He's the God of the gourds, is what we see here. Let me mention something else. Not only do we see the worm, we've seen the gourd. But in verse number 8, we see the wind. This is just an addition to verse number 7. But in my estimation, in verse number 8, the Bible says, "And it came to pass when the sun did arise, that God prepared a vehement east wind, and the sun beat upon the head of Jonah, that he fainted and wished in himself to die. And said, it is better for me to die than to live." Man, that attitude. I mean, God has shown so much mercy to this man. And he is still not broken. Still not broken. In fact, as we said this morning, the book of Jonah ends and we don't know Jonah's next move. But he was stubborn. He was complaining. He rejoiced over the gourd, but he was mad at the salvation of the Ninevites. He was out of sorts. And so we see in verse number 8 that there was a wind. I want to say about this wind, many different people say different things, commentators and all, but most believe that this wind circulated the heat that was in the land, a vehement wind. Some say that word vehement means silent of some sort, and that this kind of wind, although being silent, It had a way of stirring and circulating the heat. I kind of think about, I have a certain chair in my garage. It's my prayer chair, and that's my prayer place. But when I'm cutting grass, I have a fan that I turn around and turn on so that I can take breaks and cool off. And a lot of times it's hot heat, and there's nothing good about hot heat. Nonetheless, it's or hot wind, I should say. There's nothing good about hot wind, but it's wind. And I don't know if there's any kind of relation here to that, but we do know that this was a wind. Whether it was silent, whether it was loud, it was a wind. And we do know the gourd was gone that morning. And the sun, the Bible says, and the sun beat upon the head of Jonah that he fainted. I believe he had a heat stroke. He had a heat stroke. And at that particular point, it says, and wished in himself to die. And said, it is better for me to die than to live. So we see this wind. Again, we see that the motion is that the gourd was there. An act of mercy. Jonah had opportunity to change his attitude. But then the worm ate the gourd. The gourd is gone. And now the wind just circulated the heat. Perhaps the wind that blew through there blew his booth over, knocked down any kind of vegetation. Jonah had absolutely no cover at this point. Surely this would break him. And listen, this again is another type, an act of mercy, I believe. Because how many times does God come into our life and whether it's a shade he gives, time of refreshment, or whether he comes in strong as our leader and our mighty God to conquer our hearts, and he tries to get our attention, and we have these fainting spells spiritually, but yet we're still, the attitude of our heart is still contrary. That was Jonah. His attitude never changed. The absence of the gourd was bad, but now the wind and the heat, this was heap on top of heap. Heap upon heap. Sorrow on top of sorrow. Yet the Lord was wanting Jonah to see that's the state of my creation. That's the state of the Ninevites. They can't discern between the right hand and the left. The Lord even gives reference to caring about the cattle. He says, I care about those who have offended me. And thank God today the gospel has been shifted over to the Gentiles. And they're in the book of Acts. And thank God that God cares about those at one time that And God cares about those who don't care about him. And he brings them to salvation when they accept Jesus. Thank God, God cares about those who have rejected him in times past. Who wanted nothing to do with him in times past. I haven't always wanted something to do with the Lord. There was a time in my life where I was like those Ninevites. I didn't care about God. I had my own agenda. My agenda was, when night fell, I left my grandma's house and I was going drinking and clubbing and all the rest of those things. That was my, didn't care about God. He cared about me. He wanted me in the fold. You see, those watching tonight, God cares about you, and there may be someone watching who's not saved, that doesn't know Jesus personally, and you may not care about him. You may not give any attention, any thought. You may just have your own agenda and living by your own agenda, but the Lord loves you tonight. He wants to save you tonight. And if you're saved and you know him, and you tried to go back a fishing, like Peter said, and if I'm saved now, but if I ever try to deter from the straight and narrow, listen, he loves me so much that he will eat my gourds. He will eat your gourd. And He loves us so much that He will allow us to experience the hot winds of the world, that it may crush us and bring us to a place of repentance. And so the Lord was wanting Jonah to see the state of mind he was in because of the gourd being gone, because of the Ninevites being so. He was using this gourd and the gourd being gone to show that's how he felt and feels about Nineveh. Verse number 8, that latter part says, and said, it is better for me to die than to live. Verse 9, and God said to Jonah, doest thou well to be angry for the gourd? And he said, I do well to be angry even unto death. Then said the Lord, thou hast had pity on the gourd. You're concerned with the gourd. You're caught up in this gourd, for the which thou hast not labored, neither madest it grow, which came up in the night and perished in the night. And should not I spare Nineveh, that great city, wherein are more than 60,000 persons that cannot discern between their right hand and their left hand, and also much cattle? You see, although that the Gentiles there in Nineveh, they were the way they were still the works of God's hands. The Jews were the work. We all are creations of God, but the Ninevites became children of God when they repented of their sin. Tonight we see this wind, and it did a work. It cleared the table. You know, sometimes that's what the Lord does for us. He clears the table. And maybe someone tonight that's watching, you say, Brother Justin, I know I'm saved. I know that I've been born again. I could take you to the church. I could take you to the spot. I can tell you when I was baptized. But somehow, some way, some things have accumulated in my life. And my life is all out of sorts, and the devil is after me. Let me say this. It may not be the devil. It just may be the Lord extending an act of mercy. The Lord may be clearing the table with a wind in your life so that you just might humble yourself and come back to the Lord. Tonight we see the wind, we see the worm, we see the gourd, acts of mercy. And part two. And again, this morning we talked about the well. Father, we love you tonight. We thank you for who you are, for what you do. I pray tonight as we give this virtual invitation that if there's someone listening, someone watching, that may need to do business with you, Lord, I pray that they'll do so tonight. We love you. We thank you and we praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.